ready to say goodbye to fear and doubt and shame and discouragement. Amen. And say goodbye. We're going to say hello. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. He's a giver and not a taker. Amen. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I came to give you life. Hallelujah. He is a giver. God is love. Anything that's preached about him other than love is not in line with the word. And somebody say amen. I mean, no, he's not the author of fear. He's not the author of confusion. He is not the author of doubt. He is not the author of chaos. But I mean, no, he won't waste any of that. But he can take chaos and turn it into kairos. He can take fear and turn it into strength. Hallelujah. He can take doubt and turn it into belief. He can cause your faith to be renewed. He can cause your heart to be mellowed. He can cause healing to come. How many are thank you for the healing of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because healing doesn't just take place physically. How many know? I believe it takes place in our mind before it ever takes place in our body. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus would come to the multitude and he would come to those who were sick, he said, would you be made whole? Amen. I always thought that was strange because that's a big resounding yes, right? A big resounding yes. Do we want to be made whole? I'm thankful for the peace of God. When we read the story of the birth of the Savior, the scripture says that when the angels appeared to the shepherds, their message from heaven was peace on earth and goodwill to men. How many want that for Christmas? Hallelujah. You can have everything else. I want peace. Amen. I want hope. I want goodwill to those I love, to those that I know, to my heart, to my mind. To have the peace of the Holy Spirit is one of the most incredible things that you ever have. To be at peace with the Lord. To be at peace with your Savior. To be at peace with those around you. And to be at peace with yourself. I deal with so many people that are not at peace with themselves. And question the love of the Father. And could God ever accept me? And could God ever restore me? Could God ever use my broken story? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. Yes, he can. As a matter of fact, he specializes in the things that seem impossible. Amen. For with God, nothing, somebody say nothing, shall be impossible. I mean, when Mary began to question, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? I want to tell you first off this morning that what God's doing has nothing to do with man. It has everything to do with the overshadowing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to connect with the Holy Spirit, God begins to birth something incredible and powerful in you. Amen. He said, oh, Mary, don't worry about that. I got you. You ever question God? You ever wondered about some things? I always laugh at the story because Zechariah says, how can these things be? And he ends up speechless for 9 months, right? Mary says, how can these things be? And God responds and she ends up pregnant and overshadowed for 9 months. What's the difference? I believe God sometimes honors the heart of a child. Amen? You think your children can't hear from God? You think your children don't know? But I believe more than that, the significance of God, God silences an unbelieving old order priesthood until the moment then when he can announce the name John, and the name John means grace, and I believe God is raising up a priesthood of people, that he is silencing an old order religious background, and he is causing them to be silent until the name grace can be proclaimed and declared in the temple again. And when grace is preached and grace is declared, his mouth is open and he begins to sing the Benedictus, and he begins to sing praise unto God, because God has found him faithful even in the waiting. I mean, sometimes when all you can do is wait. My grandmother Ethel used to sing a little song that said, "Be still and know that I am God." Hallelujah. How many know sometimes in the waiting and in the silence, you just have to be still and know that God is working on your behalf? Talk about silent nights, right? 700 years ago, before this time, Isaiah prophesies that a virgin shall conceive, and nothing happens. 700 years. And then 400 years from the book of Malachi into what we see the New Testament. There is no open prophetic word spoken, no angel showing up until the time of the New Testament. That's silent nights. And then when God begins to speak, he silences man and he silences the priesthood for another 9 months. But when he opens his mouth, he begins to declare the miracles and the grace of God are among us. Hallelujah. God with us. The Emmanuel God. God with us. Another translation says God becoming one of us. God with us, God in us, God to us, and God through us. The Emmanuel indwelling God. Hallelujah. And what he begins to come is to announce the message of grace and prepare the way of the Lord. The scripture said that when Elizabeth found out that she was pregnant, I don't want to re-preach this story, but I just love it. It's one of my favorites. But, you know, Zechariah gets to talk to the angel. Nobody's talking to Elizabeth, right? He comes home to try to articulate to her what God is about to do and what the angel is saying, what heaven is speaking. Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't articulate completely what God is doing, but yet you know something is happening? And he gets home to Miss Elizabeth, and Miss Elizabeth realizes that he can't speak. I was going to say, if it was on the other way, the guys would be happy, right? I laugh because my husband is the sound man in the sound booth. It's the only time he gets to control my volume. One day a week, he gets to control my volume, right? 1 hour. Let's be real clear, 1 hour. But how many know sometimes when he comes home, he has to articulate to her what God is saying in him. And sometimes the message is so powerful that you don't have the words to say it, but yet you know there's something happening deep down inside of you. And he begins to say to her, "Be you." She says, "What? No, you and I." And she says, "Crazy old man." "Because I thought that God had left me. I thought that God would not answer. And I thought in the waiting that it would not come. And yet God begins to stir something that he thought was dead and brings to life the seed of God in the womb of two righteous people who in the waiting, the scripture says they did what was righteous in the sight of God. That even when God didn't act like I thought he should be acting, I still did what I knew to do until God birthed something miraculous in me. And the scripture tells us then that Elizabeth hides herself for 5 months. Like, at what moment does she know that she's conceived? They didn't have ultrasounds. They didn't have blood tests. She probably didn't even have the monthly marker because she was old. And when the scripture says you're old, you're old. Because there were some old ones in there. And the scripture says she hides herself for 5 months. And I often thought about that. Why would you hide, man? And I was like, because your opinion does not matter about what God is doing in me in this season. Because if I tell my dream to you, and I tell you what I think's happening, you say, ain't no way, Elizabeth, you're too old. No, it's never going to happen. I don't know why you got your hopes up. And I start to share my thoughts and my dreams with somebody else. If I'm not careful, you can talk me out of my promise. But in about the 6th month, an angel shows up at the house of Mary and says, you need to connect with Elizabeth because the miracle that's about to be born in you, there's one that's about to be born in Elizabeth. And when Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost comes together, I'm going to tell you, it'll cause your baby to leap in your womb. And if I ever doubted the promise of God before, I don't doubt it now because I've felt movement in the womb of my heart. If there's anything I could desire for you in this season, is that God would cause your baby to leap and cause motion in the womb of your heart to realize that I really am God with us. The Emmanuel God in us. The scripture says Mary stays for about 3 more months. And I said last week, I often wondered, did Mary tell Joseph and then leave town? Or did she hear from an angel and go find Elizabeth and connect with somebody and say, baby, you go back home because God's got you. Because God's about to show up with an angel in a dream to Joseph because he's about to do something in the heart of Joseph also. Don't you be afraid, little girl, to go back home because God has blessed you among women and you are highly favored. And the Lord is with you. I think she went to Elizabeth first and said, Elizabeth, we need to talk. I said, if it had been a time of text messages, they'd have said, Elizabeth, OMG. I think I'm going to have a baby. And Elizabeth says, LOL, me too. And Zechariah is silent. PM me. Only I said probably Elizabeth didn't send a text message. She probably sent an email because she had a flip phone and it's so much harder to send a text message on a flip phone. How many know there's something greater than text message? When you begin to hear something in your spirit that begins to come alive. When God begins to speak to you, she connects with somebody who's hearing the same things that she's hearing. See, not everybody's going to understand your purpose. Not everybody's going to understand your dream. And not everybody's going to understand your journey. And that's okay. You need to know that's okay. Because Micah prophesied and said, out of you, Bethlehem, I'm going to raise up a ruler. Little Bethlehem, you're the least among your brethren, but yet out of you I'm going to bring something great and mighty. And I told you before, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, oh, you Berkeley Springs, God is about to raise up some rulers out of this house, out of this community, and out of this town. It might seem small, but it's mighty. And when we began to reverence and understand the impartation of God into a younger generation, and we begin to empower them for what God has called them to do, oh, you Berkeley Springs are about to touch the nations of the earth. Who would have thought that a little country town, God could raise up voices that are touching the nations of the earth? Never underestimate the call of God in your life or on your children. One of the greatest things you might ever do is raise a leader. Yeah. You might not be a leader, but you might raise a leader. You might not be a missionary, but you might raise a missionary. You might not be a pastor, but you might raise, you might not. And I don't want you to believe that it just has to be in this pulpit. Let me tell you, God is placing people in areas, strategically plugging them into doctors' offices and shelters and homes and offices and places where the gospel is being preached. That we're touching and changing cultures. Hallelujah. People say there's no prayer in public school. I beg to differ with you. Because when I was there, there was prayer. There's still people there that know the power of the Holy Spirit in classrooms that are praying over kids and over families. I mean, God plugs us into places, and don't ever underestimate if your only calling is to raise the Messiah, then do it with everything you have in you. We've talked a lot about Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah. I want to talk a little bit today about Joseph. The series we've been on is called A Thrill of Hope, O Holy Night. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine. When Christ was born. Remember the time that Christ was born in your heart? You encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit. It might have been in a dark, quiet little cave someplace. Might have been in your car. Might have been in grandma's rocking chair. For me, it was at a couch in a living room in Andy and Tamma's house. As a young girl, I found Jesus. And I remember the moment. You can find him anywhere. You don't have to just come to church to encounter him, to find him. But oh, when you do come, he won't disappoint. And he won't leave you. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. It's a feeling of trust, wanting something to happen. It can be the difference between giving up and holding on. Amen. My husband tells a story about going sled riding down the hill one time. I believe it was with his brother, sled riding did not go well for him. But anyway, he was sliding down a hill, and he got down to the bottom hill. He hit the tree, hit his shoulder. His brother got down the bottom. He said, why didn't you let go? He said, I was doing everything I could do to hold on. I mean, sometimes we got to let go and let God do what he wants to do. It can be the difference between giving up, letting go, or holding on. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, how many know what you think about matters? While he pondered, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. And he reminds him who he is, thou son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So he began to speak to him in a dream to tell him what was to come to pass. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel said. I believe God is waking some people up to what he wants to do in this season. I mean, no, first of all, we've got to hear from heaven. First of all, we got to have some dreamers. Some people who can dream beyond what we know in the natural. And I want to honor the men in the house this morning. I want to honor the dads. I want to honor those who stand as pillars of the house. How many know this was not an easy position for Joseph to be put in? It was not like he did not have a point of reference. It was prophesied that the seed of God, the Messiah, would come out of the seed of David and out of his kingdom and out of his throne. There will be no end. How many know God first reminds Joseph who he is? Joseph, thou son of David. I'm about to fulfill my prophecy from Isaiah. It was prophesied, just not who or when. We can believe the promises of God until they delay. How many know the word says, yet though the vision tarry, wait for it. Yeah. Passion Translation says it like this. This is how the birth of Jesus, and I didn't give it to her. So this is how the birth of the Jesus took place. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Her fiancé, Joseph, was a righteous man full of integrity, and he didn't want to disgrace her. But when he learned of her pregnancy, he secretly planned to break the engagement. While he was still debating with himself about what to do, he fell asleep and had a supernatural dream. And an angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit was conceived a child in her womb. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Savior, for he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. This happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through his prophet. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. When Joseph woke from his dream, he did all that the Lord instructed him to do, and he took Mary to be his wife, but they refrained from having sex until he gave birth to his firstborn son, whom they named Jesus. How many know God honors a man who does what he's been instructed to do? When God began to speak to Joseph, I said, I want to talk to the dads this morning. Sometimes maybe you've raised a baby. It wasn't your own, or maybe moms have, or maybe you've been a single parent that have to be a mom and a dad. When it's not in your plans, or when you didn't think this was the way it was going to go, and it wasn't what you had in mind. But it says he was being a just man, not just a man, but he was a just man. He was an honorable man. He had to make a decision to follow God despite the voices of the crowd. Your decision to follow Christ may be the most important decision you will ever make, not only for yourself, but for your generations and your children. Joseph was put in a place where love was bigger than reputation. It was bigger than popular opinion or culture or religious barriers. You see, if Joseph had stayed true even to his Jewish background, he had the right to bring her before the legal council of the Jewish law and to have her stoned. How many know sometimes God even has to be bigger than your, can I say it like this, your religion? Just because we have the right, or we think we have the right to do something, if it brings death and not life, you're living on the wrong side of the cross. Because religion has stoned more people and kept more people at a distance from God. See, I didn't come to talk to you today about religion. I come to talk to you about the grace that was mentioned a bit ago. Because there's sometimes when religion has to take a back seat to the call of God in your life. Because if God is declaring something new, I don't care what the law says. Because when they brought the woman to Jesus who was taken in adultery, and just for the record, you can't be taken in adultery by yourself. In the very act, and said to him, the law says we should stone her. What do you say? And Jesus didn't respond. He stooped. See, I love a God that will stoop, that doesn't have to speak with words. How many know he speaks with actions? And when they did that and they brought her and she's standing there, what does he do? He stoops. The same God who stooped down in the beginning and he took dust from the earth and he began to take the very finger of God and he began to rewrite her story in the dust. And while they're looking for accusation to stone her, Jesus is pronouncing something different about her in the earth. And he said, if you want to go ahead and stone her, you go ahead. But he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Because this is the man who took that same dust and breathed into it. And man became a living soul. And God birthed the creation. How many know God is more interested in your heart than he is in your law or your religion? They did this to trick him. What sayest thou? He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Because he said, I concluded all under sin, that all could be made righteous. Because there was none righteous, no, not one. See, I love when the finger of God begins to rewrite your story in the dust. And no matter what your background is, or no matter where you came from, you all sang it this morning. Goodbye, guilt. Goodbye, shame. Goodbye, pain. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, doubt. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. See, that's what I want to embrace in my life. Hallelujah. And I believe God is looking for just men that'll say, I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care what your law says. I don't care what your religious background is. I have heard from heaven, and I'm going to awaken myself, and I'm going to be joined to what God has joined me to. Because there's something bigger than you and I going on right now. Hallelujah. When Joseph began to be a just man, God honors men who listen to angels or heaven over earthly opinions. Your part in leading your family in the way of God is the most important thing you can do for them. We need men, just men, hallelujah, and women who can work together. Don't take your role lightly. I mean, we live in a day where we have two-income families. You must work together. And I've said this before, the most attractive a man will ever be is when he's holding his baby or washing some dishes, cooking a meal, carrying a laundry basket. Come on, somebody in the house say amen. Fold it, and if you put it away, man, they glow in the dark. Right? We don't live in the day that we used to where Leave It to Beaver's mom has everything in place and never gets her apron dirty. We live in a culture where we are hands-on, two incomes a lot of times outside the home. And we learned a long time ago that if we're going to make it without killing each other, you must work together. It is not my dishes, it is our dishes. It is not my son-in-law said something to me back some time ago. Both of my son-in-laws, they're wonderful. Morgan was home and she took her dad to a movie, and Dave kept the kids at home so that we could go out the evening with us. And we got back home, Dan said to Dave, he said, "Hey Dave, thanks for babysitting and letting us go." He said, "You're welcome," but he said, "I wasn't babysitting." He said, "They're my kids." I honor that. Yeah. You're not babysitting your kids. He said, "I was parenting." There's something profound about when we raise up and find the importance and the value in our house. But let me just flip that. I know how to take out the trash. I know how to stack wood. I mow the grass. We just got finished hanging 100 sheets of sheetrock. Because it's our dream. It's our home. It's our purpose. And it is an honor to be able to serve God by serving our families. People say, what's going on in our world? What's wrong with our school system? You want to know? I'm going to tell you real quickly. It's the breakdown in family. It is the breakdown in family. What you do matters. What you speak matters. Man, moms, dads, the words that come out of your mouth, they are powerful. They will see more what you do than what you say. You need to treat your spouse the way you expect your children be treated by their spouse. You set the example. You raise the bar. Don't take your role lightly. Had the most attractive you ever be is cuddling that baby, a spatula in your hand, carrying a laundry basket. It's not his job or her job, it's our dream. He was the protector of the family. That when the baby was born, Joseph was a dreamer. Anybody in here got some dreams for your family? Dreams. He was a dreamer, and in a dream, he was warned. He said, Joseph, he didn't tell Mary, he told Joseph, get up, take that baby to Egypt, because Herod is evil, and protect that baby. He was the protector of the home. He was the provider of the home. Don't ever think that your dreams are not important. He was a man of restraint. He respected her body until the time came. He was a man of trade. He was a carpenter's son. Might possibly meant he was more of a stonemason than worked with wood. Either way, how many know he taught his son a trade? I say this so often. We sometimes get frustrated, and it is easy to just do it for our kids. But we are doing them a disservice when we don't teach them how to do it. You can give a man a fish or you can teach him to fish, right? What we teach them matters. What we model matters. Jesus was called Jesus. He was called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the Son of David, and the Son of a Carpenter. He was called the Nazarene. And the scripture said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Berkeley Springs? Can anything good come out of West Virginia? Can anything good come out of Word of Deliverance? There should be a resounding yes. Yes, it can. Hallelujah. Jesus was a small town boy with a big calling on his life. I said this last week. Where was Mary's mom in all of this? We don't know, right? She's not mentioned. I don't know. Is she in the picture? Is she not around? Is she not available? Does she not tell her yet? Does she not know? We don't know that. And our picture of that may vary as to what we even think that is. But what I want to tell you today, God did not leave her alone. He connected her with a spiritual mentor that was able to embrace her and salute her and to share with her in the vision of what she was doing. How many know it was Elizabeth that gave her the courage to go back home and face her neighborhood, her people, and her husband-to-be? See, I believe in the power of mentors. I believe in godly people. Who in here, can you say that God has placed somebody? It may not have been a natural dad. It may not have been a natural mom. But God will place somebody in your life that will lead the way to the path of what he wants to take you on. I mean, no, there was Elizabeth in her life that God said, go connect with Elizabeth because she's going to be able to speak life into you. Hallelujah. And so sometimes God will connect us with people in our lives that will fill the role sometimes of those who were not necessarily there. Amen. He tells Joseph, he said, take that baby and go down into Egypt. But care, because Herod has it out for baby boys. And destruction is coming. And I think another mama who had a little baby boy. And there was a Pharaoh who wanted to destroy all the baby boys. But there was a mama who stood up and said, not my baby. And she made an ark, a safe place for that baby to be placed. And she stood a watchman, his sister, Miriam, over that baby and said, if somebody comes after that baby, you tell them you know somebody who can nurse him until the time that he has to go to the palace. How many know Moses was raised in the palace of an ungodly Pharaoh? And sometimes it might seem like your children have been put in a place that's not profitable to them, or it's not where they belong, and it's not who they are. But I want to tell you what probably kept Moses was a mama who said, bring him back to me, and I'm going to nurse him, and I'm going to sing over him, and I'm going to pray over him, and I'm going to tell him every day, Moses, you were born for greatness. Moses, you are a leader. Moses, you are not an Egyptian. You got the heart of a Hebrew beating in your chest. Moses, that's not who you are. Yep. But God will bring his faithfulness to you because somebody reminded him of what he was born to do. Your role in the lives of your children matters. Man, you pray over that baby in the womb. You sing to them the songs of Israel. You speak the word over them. And it may seem like they're not hearing. That's okay. Don't get discouraged. Because his word does not return unto him void, but it will do that which he set it forth to accomplish. In closing, there was a moment in the life of Joseph and in the life of Mary and Joseph when they were going through the traditions of going to the temple, right? And they're taking him up at the age of 12, probably about the time of his bar mitzvah, his time of his adulthood, coming in to the culture of the church. And they bring him in, and the scripture tells us that he is among the doctors and the lawyers and the scribes in the house of God in the temple, and he is listening and asking them questions. Now, the technique of a rabbi, without going into it, is they would ask you questions, and you would answer back in a question. And that meant that you knew what they were talking about. And so he was in the temple, and the scripture says Mary and Joseph go a 3 days' journey and realize that Jesus is not in the caravan. He did not get in the car when they told him to. They lost him at Walmart. What kind of mom and dad go 3 days before they realize we don't have Jesus? Jesus is missing. I told him to get in the car. He did not get in the car. All my siblings are probably thinking of this story. One time my parents told me to get in the car. And we were at a conference, and I didn't get in the car. And the car was going down the road, and I was running behind it because I didn't get in the car. There were seven of us. They didn't miss one. I was not in the car. Thank God they didn't wait 3 days to come back and get me. And my dad would tell this story until he died. He said, I saw that picture of one of my babies running behind, being left behind. He said, it's not a picture I ever want to see, that one of my children would be left behind. We went 3 days, and it was a large caravan. Moms and dads, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't have it all together. If you don't get that pretty Christmas picture with all your kids in pajamas smiling, it's okay. If you don't have a gingerbread contest on Facebook, it's okay. If they don't get everything on their list, it's okay. If you don't have the money to buy, it's okay. They will survive. And so they realize they have left Jesus 3 days. And they go back to the temple. And of course, where's Jesus? He's in the temple. And they said, son, where have you been? Your father and I have been searching for you. We have been worried about you. And Jesus responds this way and said, why? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? He speaks to Joseph. And Joseph knows that there is one greater than I that has him in the palm of his hand. I want to tell you today, there is one greater than you and I that has them in the palm of their hand. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever think that you're not going to make it to adulthood. I promise you, you will. When we would act up, my mom would say, see, this is why some animals eat their young. All seven of us survived. Thank God. You don't have to be perfect because the one who is perfect is living inside of them. And I challenge you in this season, the best give you can give to them is not a present. It is your presence. My mom used to say to me, Lisa, don't buy me a birthday present or a Christmas present, whatever. She said, just come be with me. Let's just go out to dinner. Let's just be together. Boy, do I know the power of that more and more. I don't need presents. I want your presence. But beyond that, I want his presence. In my heart, my life, my home, and in my generations. And that is what this season is about. It supersedes religion. It supersedes background. It supersedes loss. It supersedes fear and guilt and shame, because he can make all things new. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. We see from the story of Joseph that he was a just man, but he wasn't a religious man. He lived by his heart and not by his head. Fear not, Joseph. Fear not. I speak that over this house this morning. I speak that over those online. Fear not. Fear is a thief. Fear is a liar. Fear will make you doubt his love for you. But as we're praying today, as Beth is playing music, if there's anybody in the house this morning, you don't know Jesus, you've not accepted him, you've not reached out, you've never experienced that present, I challenge you to do so. It's the best thing you'll ever do. Hallelujah. If you want to come up front, we'd be glad to pray with you. You want to make that step. If you want to pray where you are, because God will stoop down. He will come to you. He don't mind to stoop down to where we are so that he can raise us up to where he is. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you want to come forward, go ahead and come on down. If you just want to say, Lord, I receive you today into my heart. All that you are, all that you have, I receive it today, Lord. I receive all that you have for me, Father. And Lord, we thank you that as we encounter your presence, we are changed. Hallelujah. We are changed and made new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on down. Come on down. The beauty of receiving his grace and his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, some of you Elizabeths, some of you Zacharias, come on down and pray over these ladies here this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive all that you are. We receive all that you have. Lord, we cancel every negative word, every negative assignment that's ever been spoken over them. God, we declare that their best days are yet to come. We declare the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks every yoke, that receives us right where we are, just as we are. Father, that you are flooding her right now with the anointing and power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through her mind. Lord, that is healing her mind, that is healing her body, that is healing every broken space. God, that you are causing life to come forth out of death, that are you causing new breath, that you are causing life to be stirred in the womb of her heart, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, the love and power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit stirring and moving and touching and healing and restoring. Hallelujah. Everything that has been stolen, broken, or taken, Father, Lord, we restore to them. We restore joy. We restore hope. We restore faith. In Jesus' name, the restoration of the power of the Holy Spirit to make all things new today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We receive your love. We receive your grace. We breathe in the life of God today. Just breathe it in. Breathe in the life of God today. Hallelujah, Father, we rebuke sickness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, we rebuke sickness in Jesus' name and speak the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to every part of her body. We declare she is the healed and whole and renewed and restored, Father, that what you're doing in her is a new thing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that life is coming forth out of her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And your faith is what will carry you through in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's filling some voids in your heart. And in your mind and in those deep spaces and those dark places, God's beginning to pour, as it were, just oil and wine. The scripture, the shepherd says, he anoints my head with oil. Everything we think or can imagine must first be saturated with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And every bit of negativity has to go. Every bit of doubt and fear and unworthiness has to go, because we receive the anointing of our mind. Hallelujah. To be restored and to be renewed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. We rejoice. Hallelujah.
The weight of his wind and mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm unaware of these afflictions.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are.